Hey, today we're talking about issues that the church is not paying attention to. And we're talking to a state legislator, State Representative Stephanie Borowitz, one of our dear friends from Christians Engage. She's in the great state of Pennsylvania.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me. It is definitely time for the church to rise up and to start speaking truth.
Welcome to the Conversations with Christians Engaged podcast. I'm your host, Bunny Pounds, the president of Christians Engaged. This ministry exists to awaken, motivate, educate, and empower ordinary believers in Jesus Christ to do three things: to pray for our elected officials and our nation regularly, to vote in every election to impact our culture, and to engage in some form of civic education or involvement for the well-being of our nation.
I'm so thankful, Bunny, for what you do. A lot of people talk the talk, but you really walk the walk.
I love it, love it. Love teaming up with you, Bunny. So excited about what you're doing and the people you're reaching.
And I will stand and lock arms with this woman of God, Bunny Pounds, any day of the week.
Bunny, you are a new hero of mine.
America is worth it. Now is the time. America needs your involvement. Please take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Join with a movement of other Christians that are doing these three simple things that can really impact this nation. Join us. Hey guys, Bunny Pounds here with Christians Engaged. This series, we are talking about issues that the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, is not paying attention to. Sometimes we get so laser focused on what we know in church culture that we're not really thinking about going outside the walls of the church. And as I was thinking about these issues, I was actually talking to a dear friend, State Representative Stephanie Borowitz, who's on our advisory board for Christians Engaged. She serves in Pennsylvania. And Stephanie and I were actually talking about this. And she's like, we got to talk more to the church about what's happening in America right now. So I am so excited to have this woman. She was elected in rural Pennsylvania in 2018, became the only woman to serve her district in the history of District 76 in Pennsylvania, a pastor's wife. I am excited to have you. Stephanie, it's so good to see you today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. Obviously, this is a big issue for me. I've grown up in the church my whole life. My husband is a head pastor out here in the church. I'm actually at the church right now. And so this is, to me, critical. The church is going to direct the nation. And I believe we're in this situation because of the lack of the church speaking and standing up and speaking truth and love. And so this is it. It has to come through God's church, through his bride right now in the times that we're living in. So it's a huge thing. I just finished a book, a letter to the American church, The Warning. And it is eye-opening. Once again, everything that I've always felt, but he just kind of encapsulates it in all into one book. And then obviously reading through the Bible every day and seeing where we're at as a nation and how important it is for the church to be engaged.
Well, you brought the fire, girl, at our wake-up conference, and we are so thankful for you coming down to Texas and being with us. It's awesome to see people really connecting with government officials that love Jesus and going, you know, modeling that for the body of Christ. What caused you as a, you know, Christian leader, you know, you'd raised your kids, here you are. Why would you run for office? I mean, there was some issues that you were waking up to that you're like, oh man, I think the church needs to get involved here. Why would you even start on that journey?
My gosh, it's a long story. But somebody actually came to me and said, hey, would you think about running for state representative? I said, excuse me. At the time, I was helping run the youth group at our church. I have three kids that weren't necessarily grown yet. But I prayed about it and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, I don't want you to do it. I've called you to do it. And wow. So I felt definitely a calling. And then obviously I lost the first race that I ran, was devastated, because for anybody that knows me, Bunny, knows that I've been like this my whole life. My Super Bowl is the presidential races. I'm not watching the Super Bowl. I'm watching the elections come in.
That's why I love you so much. We're like sisters from another mother. Well, the kids, right. the husband's going to watch football. We're watching the presidential debates, right?
Right. I was on the phone with my sister at 2 a.m., like when the vote's coming in for the horrible Obamacare. And we're talking, like praying and, you know, I mean, realizing how important all of this stuff is and how it affects our nation. And so it just made sense. You know, I said, I don't cook good. I'm not the traditional, like, good cook mom that, you know, all of those things. I don't have a lot of hobbies. And I said, it just makes sense, Lord. But I still wanted to know that the Lord wanted me, that Jesus wanted me to do it. And I felt like he did. I lost that race. I had no clue why I lost. I, you know, dusted the dirt off, you know, specifically had Gideon prayers in the second time, because at that point I didn't want to run again in 2018. But I prayed about it and gave specific things. And the Lord literally said, yes, you are to run again. And I ended up winning. And so it was a very amazing experience and very trying. There was times that I didn't want to keep going. My opponent had $1 million to kind of drag you through the mud and make things up. I mean, you know how political races are. But I felt called to do it. And it's just the way God made me, to just kind of be in there, get in, fight, stand. And at every door, I mentioned in 2016, the Supreme Court, because I knew that hung in the balance. And then obviously the next election being important too, and then the presidential race of 2020. And I've seen God's hand in it, obviously, since I came in. I prayed, you know, in 2019, prayed in March, and then a year later, we went into COVID and shutdowns and fighting the tyranny that came with that. And so obviously now hindsight's 2020, and God had the perfect time that he called me to run for office. But it was never something I sought out. It was something God just kind of dropped in my lap. But it's neat because now I'm seeing people that, hey, I'm helping people with school board, running for city council, getting people involved at every level, because, you know, we know that you change government from the bottom up. And so I'm really seeing people just like me, stay-at-home mom, I had my degree in teaching, that, you know, stepping up and being willing to do the hard work.
That's so good. You know, that's why, you know, we were running at the same time. I ran in 2018 as well for Congress. And, you know, I didn't win, you know, and I knew at the end of that, that God was calling me specifically back to the church to activate the church. And that's how we built our pledge system. Those of you listening right now, if you're like listening to State Representative Borowitz right now, and like, I don't know what to do. Well, start with take the pledge on our website to pray, vote, and engage, and then get into our curriculum packages, our on-ramp to civic engagement seminar and others, to really start educating you on the process, what a political party is, advocacy, and how to really work in that area. But we typically think in the church, representative, that the life issue, which is, I believe, is one of the biggest issues of our generation, right? The sanctity of a human life. From, you know, conception to natural death, is one of the things that we always focus on. But I know there were other issues, state issues, federal issues, that really compelled you, or that you started really meditating on before you even ran. What were some of those that you think sometimes the body of Christ is not paying attention to?
I mean, I run on and actually believe in, not like some politicians, pro-life, pro-gun, pro-God, which religious liberty, pro-Second Amendment, you know, as David Barton explains, the biblical right of self-defense that we have that so many other countries don't have. Obviously, like you said, pro-life, because if you can't get life right, you're not getting anything else right. I'm also fiscally conservative. But again, if you can't get life and protecting an innocent unborn life right, you're not going to get anything else right.
Right.
And so those obviously are the issues that compel me, because I know those are standing for life, preserving the ability to defend freedom, and then religious liberty. Without religious liberty, all the others fail also. So all of those compel me and push me forward. And then the church really needs to be speaking out on all issues. Like you said, there are so many things going on in the schools. This gender mutilation surgeries that, like, Texas, I believe, banned it, but we haven't done that in PA. I mean, we just lost the state house legislature, but we have hate crime bills coming down the pike this fall, which would really put this fight inside the church walls, where, hey, you stand and say exactly what Genesis tells us. We're male and female. You could have criminal charges against you for stating biblical truth. And so if the church can't see it at this point, I mean, that scares me. That scares me if you can't see it at this point in the church.
Let's dive into that a little bit, because that's an issue people don't understand. So a lot of times on these pieces of legislation, they create this great title, right? Anti-hate crimes, you know? So, you know, we're having to dive into this. the Equality Act. That sounds so noble, right? On the federal side, the Equality Act. Well, it's really hindering people to be able to speak biblical values and be okay. Dive into that a little bit more of why that could hinder churches and church leadership.
I don't think it should hinder a church. First of all, you should see through it. It's the enemy. It's deception. Of course, the enemy and the deception of all of it, they're going to appear as light. It's going to appear as a good thing. I mean, I guess I know that. Like you said, I sometimes assume people understand the world that I have to live in now. And so you are right. A lot of people don't see that, and you don't see through the deceptiveness of it. But I'm telling everybody right now, you're right. The equality bill, hate crimes. We had a discrimination bill, which was actually, I stood on the floor and I said, this is actually the most anti, this is actually the most discrimination bill, that the worst discrimination bill we could pass against those with religious freedoms. And so they distort everything. And so the church is the one that has the truth of God's word that should be able to start seeing through this and understanding it and watching the bills that are coming out. And some of the churches, if you'd see in California, where this is hitting the hardest, Jack Hibbs, some of those pastors out there that are having some of this egregious, vile, perverse legislation pass are standing up and speaking out. They're at the Capitol. And that's what pastors are going to have to do. They're going to have to understand what this legislation does. And how this would harm religious liberty and how that would affect every single person, our grandkids, and what that would look like for them. They're coming for our freedoms and our religious liberty, period, under the disguise of making it look pretty. And so we have to understand that deception and speak truth to where the enemy's trying to bring deception. I mean, they even call the mutilation surgeries, what, gender affirming? It's evil. It's pure evil. And the church is the one that has to see through that, because we have the truth. We have Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so if the church isn't speaking that truth in a time, no wonder we have people falling for this and not willing to stand up and speak up against it.
So people on the other side of this debate will say, you can't legislate morality. But what you're talking about is not that. It is legislating, protecting children from surgeries that they didn't choose, right? Or ideas that are indoctrinating them. What responsibility do we have as state and federal officials to really protect really the innocent among us?
We have a huge duty, you can legislate morality. You can't legislate a religion, but everything is morals. So do not
well
kill.
Said.
Do
not well kill. Said.
Yeah, all of them come through morality, which we took, I believe the founders, it was like 65% was coming from God's word of all of the founding documents and everything. So overwhelmingly the most from Jesus's words in the Bible. And so, life. Death, everything that they legislate, sometimes it is, they're trying to now legislate immorality. And so it is not just an option, like, oh, this is the fun new thing for the church to do. It is the duty of the church to start speaking out. We have to remember that John the Baptist was then imprisoned because he spoke out against the king and his immorality. We have to realize, I'm reading through the Gospels right now. And some of the things, I'll call my sister and I say, listen to what Jesus is saying. Oh, perverse and vile generation. Like, yes, Jesus was all love, but he also was all power and authority and truth. And so it's the balance of both of those, full of God's grace and full of God's power. And that's what Jesus obviously walked in as the perfect Son of God. And so it is time for the church. I always say, get rid of the fluff and stuff. People are eager right now to hear God's truth. They're out there floundering, not knowing what to do, filled with anxiety. We have that answer, and it comes through God's truth, and it's speaking that in love. My husband gave a sermon the other week, and he explained it perfectly. If you saw someone in a fire, and you walk by them in the neighborhood, and their house was on fire, in flames, is that loving them to just walk by and say, hey, John, while John's about to burn in flames in his house? Or is it loving to warn that person, hey, your house is on fire, you're doing something immoral, out of love, we care about you, that's not God's way for your life. No, it's our duty to speak truth and love to those people, to see them saved, because we have the way, the truth, and the life. And so for these churches that just continue on the same path, and I feel like all churches, Bunny, have gotten in this, everyone's doing the same thing. It's the same timing, the same look. And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad. I'm just saying, be willing to follow the Holy Spirit. Be yes. willing to go against the grain. Be willing to just read God's word. I mean, my husband just read Jude. Yes, it's one chapter, but he read through just the chapter in the whole book of Jude. And I said, that's what Jesus did. He stood in the temple and read Isaiah 61, I believe. And so we're making this, we got to, you know, do everything to bring people in. No, God's word, the Holy Spirit brings people in. Set it ablaze, I think Leonard Ravenhill, and the people will come with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's word. And I know I'm going long, but we have these churches now. I saw a church in Florida, and Bunny, it disgusts me that churches are now bringing in secular songs to try to bring people in, or making a parade of just Disney shows, of trying to think that that's the way. And I'm not saying these people's hearts are bad, Bunny. It just, God's word is all we need right now. His truth is all we need. And I pray for the church daily, because the church is the one that has to see this. And it literally is a warning to the American church. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. And we're literally on that precipice. And so we need pastors understanding that, stepping out of the box, not fearing man, and reading and standing on God's truth for the innocent lives, like you said, these little children. If you could just see the little children as Jesus did, and that it is our duty to protect them. And this is coming down fast, all of these vile bills and perversion. And it's our duty. It's our duty as a church. Sorry for going so long.
Oh, no. Preach revival, sister. No, I mean, this is key, because if the church doesn't wake up, if we don't understand that the gospel is preeminent, the gospel is the only thing that brings people to the Lord, but the kingdom of God has to go outside the walls of the four walls of the church and impact people where they live. And so often we become this little, I don't know, insulated bubble, right? And we're just with our little friends and our little family. I mean, I grew up in a denomination where I never met somebody that was not a Christian, or anybody that was not in that denomination, I think, till I was 13 or 14 years old. That's crazy. Right. You know, I mean, we have our schools, we have our way, but what you're doing, saying, you know what, God, I will be willing to run for the Pennsylvania House. I will be willing to go to some of the darkest places on the planet, which is our state legislators, some places, you know, our capitals, to go. I'm willing to go there for the purpose of the kingdom and to be a voice. And that's why we love you and why we have you on our advisory board, Stephanie, because very few people have the understanding that you have on how the church can really make a difference. Let's hit on the Second Amendment for a second, because this is an issue we don't really think of in a Christianese idea. But the Second Amendment actually protects the First Amendment of religious liberty, right? And freedom of speech. Talk to us. This goes way beyond hunting and fishing, right? Why should we have the Second Amendment? Why is that important for citizens to be able to bear arms? And why is that an issue that Christians should care about?
It, like you said, it defends all the rest. It was not instituted and not made the second thing, the Second Amendment, the second thing they wrote, just for hunting. Obviously, we use it for hunting. My husband loves to hunt, but the intention of it and the purpose of the Second Amendment was if a government became so tyrannical that you could overturn that government because the people would be armed. Why do you think we haven't had people invading this land, literally coming here? Because we have behind every blade of grass. I love that saying. We are armed and ready as Americans. And how amazing that our founding fathers literally created like the biggest people, we the people standing army, armed and ready. And we're law abiding. You know, we abide by the laws. We only have that in the necessary need of a tyrannical government. And obviously that's a last case scenario. but it's there, and it guards all the other amendments, and it defends all the others. And so, you know, there's a real right. There's, I believe it was Nehemiah when they in the Bible, God told them, or Nehemiah said, I don't even want you going to the restroom without taking your sword. They weren't even allowed to move away from the rebuilding of the walls without having their sword at all times. And so it is a biblical concept to defend yourself. It's a biblical right of self-defense, as David Barton explains it.
Yeah, so. I did a Bible study. We put out the first of this year, 16 videos on the book of Nehemiah, the leadership of Nehemiah. And it's fascinating how he did keep everybody working, but he had people guarding at the same time. You know, you got to work and you got to be safe. And right. Government, the essence of government, what we don't understand is government has a few functions. It is to keep the people safe, right? Yeah. And so when we are disarming them, we have to think about the countries that have disarmed their members, right? The people in those citizens. What has happened in Cuba, North Korea, Venezuela? When countries start getting disarmed, what happens?
You're dead. I gave a speech. They are pushing, our state house just turned Democratic. It just turned to the Democrats, and only by one. But they have shoved down red flag laws, a gun registry. And I stood up with the gun registry and I said, let me explain to you how many people. And I went through all the governments. I said, you know what's killed more people than anything over the last 100 years? Governments. Mao Zedong, Hitler. And I went through all of the ones and how many people were killed. And of course, no news media would pick that up because they don't want the truth out there. And that when people are disarmed, the government has free reign, and it is a very short time from the disarmament to then where people start dying, innocent lives are lost. I mean, if not the warning from the Holocaust survivors that I've listened to her over and over, and she said, have guns and have ammo. She goes, we would have at least gone down fighting when they came for us, but we had nothing. We had nothing to defend ourselves with. And so it's a real warning to us. And I'm telling you, they are coming. Just this whole liberty safe thing, you know, they will start picking us off, and we have to be we have to have God's wisdom in this situation and scenario that we're facing, because they know they can't come all at once. Again, it's very deceptive, right? Yeah. Even the gun groups, Bunny, come to me and say, oh no, we don't want to take away the second amendment. Sure, sure. You know, of course, I don't even let them in my office. I said, don't bring that here, you know, and but people buy into that. People buy into the lies. And I always say, you never can give an inch on the second, because that's their purpose, is to disarm us, period. And even a lot of people on both, I mean, definitely the left falls for it, but sometimes conservatives fall for it. So it's sad.
Well,
it's very, very violent.
These are things that we need to be paying attention to. And a lot of Christians don't understand, you know, why would First Liberty Institute spend over, I don't know how many years, maybe 10 years, 8 years, fighting for Coach Kennedy to have the right to pray on the 50-yard line and to not be fired from his job, right, in Oregon. Why is that important? Why are we fighting these fights? Because if we allow the First Amendment to be tampered with, if we allow the Second Amendment to be tampered with from what the founders intended, it's not good for the future of our nation. And so that's why we need people, Christians that are bold as a lion, like you are, thank you, Representative, standing in those places of authority and speaking the truth in love. Representative, is there anything else you would like to say to the church about this wake-up call? And by the way, we were talking about Eric Metaxas's book, Letter to the American Church, which Eric's a friend, and he was at our conference in 2022 as he unveiled that. We actually had the honor of having him as one of the first speeches on that book, which was awesome. But it's such an important book as we reference the early German church and kind of the complacency that they were in. So if you want to close us out with a little bit on that, and then we'll close this out.
Yeah, I really just stick to reading God's word, but that was a book I wanted to read, A Letter to the American Church. It is a warning. I think every pastor, obviously, with reading your Bible daily, should read that book, because it is a warning. When Dietrich Bonhoeffer stood up and gave a sermon in the church in Germany, and within 10 years, that whole building was gone. It was completely obliterated, I believe, in World War II. And he literally tried to wake them up, like, this is coming, a warning. And he felt like it fell on deaf ears, you know, which it did. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer now is remembered for standing up. And what got me the most in that, Bunny, was the amount of churches that Eric talks about that, okay, some sided with Hitler, horrible, right? Some sided with freedom and standing against what the government was doing. But the scariest part, obviously, that's vile to stand with someone like that. Awesome that they stood, a small remnant, but the amount, I believe it was 12,000 churches that stayed silent, because that was the easy and comfortable thing to do. To me, that's why I went to a church 2 weeks ago in Lancaster and spoke, and then I praying for my husband in these positions. Pray for your pastors. It's a huge weight that the enemy, I believe, has brought on them to remain silent, because that is the easy path, and just keep doing what every church is doing, the same pattern, because it works. Well, a church isn't a business. I know we have to have order in the church. I understand that. My church runs it with great order and divine order of God, how God sets the church up. But it has to be willing to follow the Holy Spirit and to speak truth and not be silent. And get off that same thing that the church is doing, because it, quote, works. This is a different time. We have things going on in this nation like we have never seen before. And we are on the cusp of losing this nation. And obviously, our hope is not in a nation. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. We know that. Our hope is not in a nation. But we're an anomaly. And to have had religious liberty as long as we've had, and to have the freedoms that we've had for my kids and my grandkids one day, your grandkids, Bunny, it is not just, it is our duty. It is not just something we should do. It is our duty to stand up and speak truth. And the more people read their Bibles, the more they'll understand this. I know that for sure. The more they read their Bibles now, and if you actually read God's word, I think it's only 3% or actually have a biblical worldview. Yeah. That's the problem. The church has to get back to teaching God's word unfiltered. And so the church is the key, Bunny, and the church cannot remain silent. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. And I just pray that for the church. I pray that they are become an army, like the army of God that God wants us to be. And like Stephen, when he was being stoned, full of God's grace and full of God's power, it said he had. And both of those things equally combined is what will change the trajectory of this nation, I believe. So.
Amen. Well, I think our frontline warriors in government, education, higher education, the medical field, so many folks that are not in the pulpit, but they're outside on the battlefield, understand this clearly. I mean, they see it clearly what's happening. Yeah. And I thank you so much, Representative, for walking with Christians Engaged, for being a part of this ministry. We reminder everybody, you know, start on the journey. Get your friends and family to take the pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Start voting in every election. Never miss an election again. Start engaging, educating yourselves. Our On-Ramp to Civic Engagement seminar is step two. This is an amazing course to understand how to get engaged. And then Salt and Light, how to impact your local communities, and all of our Nehemiah class I was talking about earlier. We're not just building these curriculum packages to sit on a shelf and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars for people not to use it. We're here to activate the church, right? So I just want to encourage you to not be lazy. Don't just sit on your couch and do like I do sometimes and watch Survivor over every, I don't know, Representative, if you like Survivor, but it's so political. I just love Survivor. And, you know, you can get in this tendency of just sitting on your couch and just, you know, becoming brain numb. But God's calling us to more. He's calling us to more. So activate your church. Another way you can activate your church is my book is coming out. We have advanced copies in November and December of this year. And it's coming out February 6th. It's called Jesus in Politics, One Woman's Walk with God in a Mudslinging Profession. And I'm so excited about this book because, number one, it's going nationwide. And I'm so thankful for Charisma helping me and publishing it. But I don't think there's a book right now on the market where we really talk about how we actually walk this out. It's not a how-to manual. It's my stories of how to go to the place of prayer and hear from God, how to speak the word of God to elected officials, how to really do the thing day to day. And I hope to inspire a younger generation to be staffers, to get involved, to run for office, to get involved in policy organizations, to be salt and light in these spaces, because Christians, we are the answer. State Representative Borowitz, thank you so much. Tell everybody how they can reach you. And then also, what's the name of your husband's church, your church, and where can people find the church too? Because I want to visit.
Yeah, I'd love for you to come. That'd be awesome.
We should do. Yeah, invite me for the book.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd love for you to come up. And we really need to get our churches, more engaged in that, pray, vote, and engage. And that is the key. So thank you for what you're doing. You can find me on Facebook. I'm not good at all this. Somebody asked me at the conference I was at too. And I said, I need to get better about knowing all of my websites and everything, but you can find me PA State Rep Stephanie Borowitz on most any social media. And follow me, you'll see, some of the legislative things that are coming down the pike. And so I try to keep everybody informed on that. And then our church is Crossroads Church in Jersey Shore, PA. It's just a small rural town. It's a great little area. We're out here in the cornfields and preaching Jesus and seeing people baptized in the creek. It's awesome. So yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you for what you're doing. Keep doing it. We need to engage the church. And I believe your organization is one of those key factors in doing that. So Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for walking with us. We so appreciate you. We'll see you guys next week as we continue this discussion of issues from a biblical perspective and the issues that the church is not paying attention to. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible podcast. What a time we've had. We love you so much. We love being in your life. Have you subscribed? Have you shared this with your family and friends? Please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you get your audio or video pods. We need your help. This mission is undergirded by individuals just like you that support this ministry monthly, annually, and whenever you think about us, to be able to reach over 1 million Christians in the next 2 years. That's our goal. We want to empower 1 million Christians around America to pray, vote, and engage regularly. Will you help us? We're here to do that, and we need your help. I want to say thank you to our partners at The Stream. What an incredible online publication put out by James Robison and Life Outreach International. As we come together across denominational lines as believers to discern what God's saying about the news of the day and to hear from different viewpoints. Check out The Stream, make it your homepage, and get on their email list. This product is amazing. Also, our partners at Edify App, put out by Christian Post. This podcast app is a convergence of Bible teachers around America. We're excited to be a part of Edify App. Check out all their other podcasts. Thank you so much again for caring about this nation. We're here to help you pray, vote, and engage. We'll see you next week.